Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for Wednesday night Bible study. Words of Wisdom. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. As always, it's an honor and it's a privilege to come before the people of God. I thank God for the opportunity for allowing me to be able to share the word of God tonight. And I thank God for each and every one of you. I pray that everything went well for you this week. You know, we are living in trying times. And there's trials and tribulations and adversity on all sides. But I want to give you a praise report and let you know that God is in control. Nothing happens unless he orchestrates it or allows it. And God is always working things out together for our good. We have to trust God and begin to praise and thank him for what we have and trust him for what we need. Well, our lesson tonight is going to come out of the book of 2 Corinthians. We're going to be in the 10th chapter. We're going to expound on the 2nd through the 5th verse. I pray that each and every one of you have your Bibles out tonight. This is Bible study, and we're going to study the Word of God together. So, the title of our lesson is Satan Uses Our Mind as His Playground. He uses our mind because that's the only thing he has. That's the only thing he can do. Let's look at it for a while. If Satan could have taken us out, imagine when we was wallowing in our sin, before we accepted Christ as our Savior, if he could have taken us out then, he would have. He would have tried even harder to keep us from accepting the only true and living God. But Satan can only use our mind as his playground. And we have to allow him to have free space in our head. So I pray as the lesson goes on tonight, we realize the limitations and the limited power that Satan has. Even though God allows him to do some of the things that's happening today, but God is still in control. So what I'm going to do is play a song, and our sister Maddie that's on the program, she suggested this song for tonight once she read what the title of the lesson would be, and I would imagine she looked at the scriptures and she thought this song would be appropriate for tonight. And the title of the song is Shake, 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 Shake the Devil Off. And it's by a musical artist named Dorothy Norwood. So I'm going to play this song. We're going to come back, and I pray that God touch someone's heart, that they would lead us to the throne of grace in prayer once the song is finished. Listen to the song, be prayerful for our Bible study, and always remember each other in prayer.
Shake the devil off. In the name of Jesus.
Was shake the devil off. You know, we might not know everything, and we might not know all the words of God, but the scripture says there's no name besides the name of Jesus. When you call on the name of Jesus in a situation, you might not know what to say, how to say it, and even exactly why to say it. But as the song said, shake the devil off in the name of Jesus. So when something is going on in your life and you don't really have full control of it and you can't get a grip of it and you don't know what to do with it, just call out the name of Jesus. Just call on Jesus. And I guarantee he will see you through. He will see you through. So with that being said, we need to go to the throne of grace at this time. And if anyone would like to pray, please press the one button on your phone. Caller, your number is 504-715. Your mic is open.
Thank you, Lord. God, we just come tonight, God, just to thank you. Thank you for another day, oh God. God, we come to break bread, oh God. Your word declares that we ought to submit ourselves unto you, resist the devil, and he will free from us, oh God. So right now, Lord God, you said in your word, with all I get in, get understanding. So we just asking that you would open up understanding ears tonight, that we would hear, Lord God, hear what the Spirit has to say unto the church, Lord God. God, we just bless your name, God. We lift up Minister Diane unto you, Lord God. And we thank you for what she have been doing, Lord God, for how she have been bringing your word. Oh, God, that all will have clarity, Lord God. But we just thank you. And we just bless your name this evening, Lord. We can shake the devil off, oh God, because it's in the name of Jesus that all is well in our souls and in our spirit, oh God, and in our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we pray, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
That's the Valeria Maggie calling from Boutte, Louisiana. Sister Maggie, I see your spirit is full. You want to grant us with a little bit of song?
That same song? No, girl.
Well, no, you think about it. When the program is getting to the end, I'm going to let you sing a song. I know you're going to be ready.
Yes.
Glory be to God.
I will.
Thank you. If anyone else would like to pray, there's never too much prayer. You know, the mic will be open for you. God may be speaking to some of you or one of you, and you have a desire to pray, but, you know, you don't feel comfortable maybe, or whatever. But if anyone would like to pray, you can press the one button on your phone. If not, we're going to go into the lesson. Glory be to God. We have a lot of callers on the line tonight, y'all. I want y'all to know God is truly in the blessing business. So our lesson, as I said early, and so many callers has called in, the title of our lesson is Satan Uses Our Mind as His Playground. We're coming from the book of 2 Corinthians. If you don't have your Bible, please get it. If you got your Bible, open it to 2 Corinthians, the 10th verse, and we're going to expound on the verse number 2 through 5. Always I give background, and I want you to know that Paul was the writer of this book, and this is a book in the New Testament. You see, Paul became an apostle of Jesus Christ. He was a Jew, and the religion that he served was Judaism. That was the religion of the Jews. You see, Judaism believed in the laws of Moses in the Old Testament, and they believed in God the Father, but they never accepted his Son. See, Christians believe that no one can come to the Father unless they go through the Son. You see, the Jews who practice Judaism are still waiting for the arrival of a Messiah. How sad is that? They believe the prophets of the Old Testament that a Messiah would come, but not believing that Jesus was the one. They are still waiting as of this day. When the Jews and the Gentiles began to believe that Jesus was the Messiah and that he had come, and they believed that Jesus Christ was the incarnated God, all trouble broke loose. And Paul was one that didn't believe it as well, and he was a persecutor of the Christians who believed that Jesus was the Messiah. And Paul was good at what he did. You see, anyone that accepted Jesus Christ as the Savior, he became their Lord and Savior, and they became Christians, which means to be Christ-like, not Christ. Was placed in their Lord and Savior hand, and they became in harm's way. You see, back then, especially when after Jesus died and resurrected and the teaching of Jesus being a Messiah came out, anybody who believed it was in harm's way, and they could have been beaten, put in jail, or crucified. Imagine how that was, and yet today we have freedom to read the word of God, carry the word of God, spread the word of God. Freedom. And yet, we don't do it. You see, the Jews believed that they were getting justice by persecuting them because they believed that it was blaspheme against God for accepting Christ as the chosen one. They love God. Watch this. And little did they know that God and Jesus was one in the same. You see, Paul was crucifying the Christians, and Jesus met him on the road to Damascus, and he convinced Paul of who he was and all of that. Paul was on his way to get some more Christians to punish them. So we see Paul, the writer of three of the epistles in the New Testament, which is also called letters, Paul didn't go looking for Christ, but Christ came looking for Paul. That's the same way God did in our lives. While we was yet in sin, God sent his Holy Spirit to convict us and to soften our heart that we may receive the message of Jesus Christ. Paul says God revealed his son Jesus to him. He didn't get it from man, so that's a wonderful thing. It's amazing that Paul was killed. He was martyred for his belief. And today we have the freedom and don't understand or embrace the gospel at all costs. God chose Paul because he knew if Paul was so faithful to Judaism, and once he received the truth, he would also be faithful to Christianity. And tonight I'd like to ask you, can God use you? All of us have talents and gifts. Everybody have a talent. Everybody have at least a gift. That's the way God designed it. You might not know what yours is, but you see some of the things that you used in the world when you was big and bad and bold, be the same way for God. God is not going to ask you to be something or do something beyond your ability. And he only wants from you what he has already given you for you to achieve and work and get his intended purpose. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. So I'm going to go into the scriptures tonight, and I'm in verse chapter 10, and I'm on the third verse. And the scripture reads as follows. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Even though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. That's the scripture. So what this scripture is saying, that even though we live in this body, we do not fight according to the world or man's standards. The scripture is letting us know that there's a war going on between our flesh and our spirit. You know, they say that's a spiritual war that's going on within you. You know, the flesh wants some things and the spirit of God wants some things. And I come to tell you tonight that sometime the flesh wins and sometime the spirit wins. And I'm going to tell you, if you live to be 103 years old, that battle is still going to be going on. Because once you accepted Christ as your Savior, the Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit of God, came and lived inside of you. And because we human, we wrapped up in flesh on our bones. Flesh craves fleshly things, and the Spirit craves the things of God. As long as we live, our flesh, when it craves, is what causes sin. You see, sin only dwells in the flesh. Sin don't dwell in your spirit. Your spirit, the Spirit of God that is living in you, have never asked you to do some of the things that's good in the world standards. Your spirit never asked you to lie. Your spirit never asked you to commit some sinful acts. It's not the spirit, but it's the flesh. But I want you to know that not all things done in the flesh are sin. But if you put your flesh under submission unto God, then it's okay. The spirit will yearn for the things of God. Remember, they are spiritual. This war is actively taking place every second of our lives. And you know that this war is fought in the boardrooms of our minds. The flesh wants the things of the flesh, and the spirit wants the things of the spirit. Our mind is what directs and controls us. Our mind is even talking us into doing something or talking us out of doing something. The mind. Proverbs 23:7 says, so as a man thinks, so is he. We are what we think. The way that we think can either help us or hurt us. You cannot allow your thoughts to be governed by Satan or man's standards, because then you will only be concerned with the desires of the flesh. And Satan will use your mind as his playground. You must line yourself up with the Word of God. Satan can only operate in your mind. He messes with your thoughts, and he tries to control your actions, and he is out to tarnish your character. Remember, Satan's powers are limited, and he can only do what God allows him to do. If Satan could do more than just playing tricks in your mind, he most certainly would. You see what happens? Satan only plants the thought and hopes that you receive it and allow it to become your perception. And before you know it, it becomes your reality. And you know, a lot of cases, your reality is only real for you. Just because it becomes your reality does not mean that it's real, that it's true, that it's factual with all things being equal, but it's your reality, and that's how you think, and the Bible says that's who you are. Satan has a way of making everything that looks bad look good. We see that every day on CNN and the news. Look around the world that we live in today. Anything goes, and people are accepting it more and more each day. We have to remember that we are the chosen people of God, and we should be transforming the world to the things of God. But the world is conforming us to his standards. It's backwards, y'all. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's God. That was God's desire. But it's backwards right now, God, y'all. Satan is taking the war seriously, and he's doing everything in his limited power to find the battles that he think he could win with you. Satan don't try the same tricks with everybody. Satan know what he can't get you on. But he also know the things that you have, you know, took hold of, and he begin to weigh you out with it. You see, we have the victory in Christ Jesus only if we keep our mind stayed on him. Remember, Satan is our enemy and a thief. And John 10:10 says that the thief cometh not but to steal and kill. So with that being said, we have to realize we have to stop straddling the fence. Stand up for what is right. Stop compromising your faith by trying to mix the flesh with the spirit. Choose God and you will win every time. And this is not a word to say that we will become perfect, because the Bible says we all fall short. And everybody, if they be true to themselves, have something. But we are trying to press for the mark of the high calling, and we should be trying to be better. We will never be perfect, but we can start being more faithful. The second scripture in verse 4 says, "But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." And carnal is a worldly thing, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You know, they say, and our weapons cannot be carnal, which mean earthly, man standards, worldly standards. And weapons of the world that they use, watch this. The weapons that they use, which mean flesh, because it dwells, sin dwells in the flesh. Some of the weapons of this world are lies, lust, deception, greed, pride, people thinking more of themselves than they should. And everybody want to use the blame game. Because you see, when someone uses the blame games, it makes them feel better about themselves. And Adam and Eve brought the blame game into play, because when God went to Adam, he said, it's the woman you gave me. And he went to Eve, she said, it's the Satan. It was Satan blaming someone else. Look within ourselves and let the truth be told. Do our best to change and improve. And keep it moving. Some more of the weapons of this world is gluttony. People are never have enough. Slothfulness, never wanting to do enough. And anger. Satan only gives temporary or short-term satisfaction, and then he leaves you stuck out, all alone to face the music by yourself. He gets you in all kind of things. And when the rubber meet the road, or when it collapses, or when you reach your rock bottom, he walk away, going to the next victim. But you see, when this happened, you realize that you may have temporarily won the battle, but you definitely lost the war. See, once you accept, believe, and confess unto God and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, God has equipped us with mighty weapons, and they are always available. We know that in Ephesians, the book of Ephesians 6 and 11, and for those who don't know what the weapons of the full armor of God is, go to Ephesians 6 and 11 in your free time, because God said that's our weapons. And he tells us in Ephesians 6 and 11 to put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. You see, the word stronghold that's in this scripture is only found in this scripture in the whole New Testament. You see, a stronghold is described as a wall or fortress that has plagued our mind from the beginning of time. A stronghold is anything that has a strong hold on you. It represents a great wall of resistance to the truth. Hallelujah. I'm going to read that again. It represents a great wall of resistance from the truth. I want you to know tonight that strongholds can keep you from being one of God's best. Trust the Lord with all your heart and stop leaning to your own understanding. You're not afforded the privilege to make it up as you go. God has given us his holy word, which should be our moral compass, and we should line ourselves up with the things of God daily. You cannot make it up as you go, what you think is good enough or what you think it's good enough. First of all, if you don't really read and study and understand the word of God, how are you going to come up with an action or do things that you think is good enough when you don't know what's required? That's when you're standing in a guessing game. So let us be steadfast and unmovable. And let us abound in the word of God so that we can stand righteously before God, that we can somehow have the power to put Satan under our feet. The fifth verse says, Cast down imagination and everything that exalts itself against the word of God, and bring into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. It says, cast down your imagination. You see, a serious stronghold is our imagination. Imagination is the act or power of forming mental images of what is not actually present or may never be experienced. Your imagination. I'm going to read it again. A serious stronghold is our imagination. Imagination is the act or power of forming mental images of what is not actually present or may never be experienced. We must ask God to give us the spirit of discernment to keep our thoughts focused on his truth and his knowledge. God's knowledge and the word of God provides us evidence that should help us control our thoughts and mind. We must learn how to wait on God and trust God. I come to tell you tonight, believe it. If God said it, it will come to pass. You can believe it. But remember this, y'all. It is not your time, but on his time. And some things that's your will is not his will. God has a perfect plan. And you know, you might not understand it all, but you have to just keep trusting him. Because believe me, he's working all things out for your good. If your thoughts and imagination do not line up with the word of God, I'm going to tell you right now, run from it. Cast it down immediately. Call on the name of Jesus and keep it moving. Because if you allow it to have free space in your head, it will be harder to evict. Your thoughts now believe that they have squatter's rights. Have you ever let your thoughts and imagination run wild and so far that you no longer know who you are? You wake up one morning and say, how did I get here? I'm doing things that I never thought that I would. You see, your mind has played tricks on you. So you might ask the question, why God gave man an imagination? Well, there are only two ways for a human to see something: through physical vision, which is through the eyes, or even in your imagination. Without imagination, man would be complete robots, because you wouldn't think of something else. You wouldn't think of anything new. You wouldn't think of something to create. You wouldn't think of that you could get to a higher level. You couldn't expect the overflow of God. You couldn't expect that God is on the way. And all human progress has been born out of our imagination. It gives us the ability to see things differently than they are right now. Oh, it don't look good for me, but God has always brought me through. Come on, you could imagine that help is on the way. You can imagine the love that God has for you, and he's not going to let any hurt, harm, or danger come to you. And I'm not telling you you're not going to have trials, tribulations, and even adversities. And you're going to have bad times and, you know, and things like that. But think about the worst thing that ever happened to you in your life. And I could ask you the question now, did that too pass away? God is not through with us yet. You see, imagination is used for righteousness' sake. And it's a good thing. But when you allow your imagination to play tricks on you, it could destroy you. You know, a lot of mental sicknesses and mental diseases is because, you know, the imagination and the minds of the people, that they can't get it through. And I'm not telling you those things are not real, but it's all play out in the head. You see, but we need our imagination. Don't get me wrong. But we should allow God to guide us. There's a scripture in Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." And I'm going to show you some examples in the Bible. You got to remember, everything in the Bible that was written is for us. It's our daily instruction for our daily living. All the characters in the Bible, God used to show us some characteristics of people and the things that they did and how God brought them through, or some of them who did what they wanted to do, leading to their understanding, and how they got punished and they didn't make it through. So when you see characters in the Bible, if they're doing good, then you do what they did. And if they're in a situation where they're doing something bad, God is showing you, don't you do that. But our imagination is important, because if we look a little bit at the story of the Hebrew boys, you know, they was the ones that was placed in a fiery furnace because they didn't want to bow down to the king. You see, they used their imagination based on the evidence of God's power. Hallelujah. They knew he could do anything but fail. When you face your problems, know that God can do anything that fail. The Hebrew boys used their imagination. They used their spiritual weapon from the arm of God, which is faith, and they mixed it with their imagination. And they stepped in. And you know the outcome. God showed up. He showed off. When the king looked in the fiery furnace to see the three Hebrew boys, he saw four people walking. And he said one of them looked like the Son of God. When they opened the furnace door and the Hebrew boys came out, nothing on them was burned. They didn't smell like smoke. The only thing that was burned was all of the ropes and things that they used to bind them. If we look at Adam and Eve, Satan told Eve a lie. That's some of the weapons of the world. Satan ain't nothing but a liar. Satan told Eve a lie. She allowed her imagination to get the best of her. Again, your imagination is an act, a power of creating mental images of what has never been actually experienced. See, what Satan told her, that she would be like God, that she wouldn't die from eating the fruit. See, her imagination gave her mental images of what she had never experienced, so it perked her interest. You see, but she could have cast down her imagination, but she didn't. She accepted Satan's perception as true. So she ate, gave some to Adam, and the rest is history. You see, and there's another story about Sarah and Abraham. God told them that he would allow them to conceive a child. And after a lot of time passed, they thought that God was taking too long. So they allowed their imagination to play tricks on them. They took matters into their own hands. Sarah gave Abraham her maid servant, not waiting on God. The maid servant conceived the child. God come because he already had a time in mind to do it. See, God don't do, they say that God is an on-time God. He may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. That's where faith step in and you wait and you trust him. So what happened? They conceived the child. Sarah, now God shows up, allows Sarah to conceive a child. And now she bitter with the child that the maidservant brought. That the maidservant brought, you know, into the world. She was so angry that she put the lady out and her child out, not concerned where they would go, what they would do, how they would do it. They put them out because now jealousy, one of the weapons of the world, envy, one of the weapons of the world, came into her mind. Sarah even thought, you know, let's go ahead and do this because God might be lying, but God don't lie. So she should have knew that God doesn't lie. They had been waiting too long, and what's the difference will it make? Sarah, the child that the maid servant delivered, name was Ishmael. And look at this for history. Ishmael was born of the flesh. But the child that God promised, Isaac, was born of the promise. God didn't promise that anything would happen through the relationship with Adam and the maid servant. He said he was going to bless Sarah and Abraham. And that has been confusion in the world since that happened. Ishmael and his generations believed that he should have received the promise because he was the firstborn. But God's promise was not to Hagar, which was his mama, and Abraham. It was to Sarah and Abraham. And as I conclude for the night, I want you to know that without an imagination, how could we see God in our minds or read the word of God about the rapture and see Jesus in the air? How could we see the pearly gates or the streets paved with gold? How could we see the Red Sea being divided into two, and the children of Israel walking through? How could we imagine the suffering of Christ and then see his glorified, resurrected body? Here we see that our imagination is needed because we walk in by faith. And faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We must control our mind and line it up with the things of God. And if you allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and use the Word of God as our moral compass, we will receive a guaranteed abundant life filled with God's grace, mercy, and love. Remember, grace is what God has given us, and grace has the power to give us everything we don't deserve. And I talked about mercy, and mercy, this is good. Mercy has the power to hold back all of the punishment for the things we do, things we have said, things we should do, things we don't do. Mercy has the power to hold back the punishment that we do deserve. And the love of God so amazing. Don't allow your mind to play tricks on you. And don't allow the devil to use your mind as his playground. And that's our lesson for tonight. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. If anybody would like to expound on anything that we said, if anybody want to add some to it, if anybody want to give words of encouragement, if anybody want to whatever, you know, the mic will be open for you. If there's no one else who would like to do anything at this time, I'm going to go ahead and turn the mic over to Sister Elyria Mackey. Sister Mackey? Sister Mackey?
I'm here.
You want to make some comments on the lesson tonight?
No, all I can tell them is stand fast in the Lord. He's given
okay.
us the authority.
Okay, that's right. And I have another caller that has pressed the button, so I'm going to leave your mic open right now, Sister Mackey, and I'm going to let you know when it's time for you to sing, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Caller, your number is 504-205-79. Your mic is open.
Hello, everyone. I just wanted and I had to say thank you for this wonderful message on tonight and for reminding us to protect our minds, because so many times we are tricked by the devil and we can't give him any opportunity to use our precious mind as his playground. We have to stay in the Word. We have to. So I want to thank you for this message and for letting us be reminded. And you said it at the end. And usually the last things really stick with you. Everything does, but the last word, I'm going to remember that you said, protect your mind. So thank you
yes.
so much for this message.
Yes.
I this office
so
depot.
I know who you are. I got your voice now. I thank God for you every time I go in prayer. And not just
thank
you,
God
but all
for you
the listeners.
Yes.
All of the listeners. I want y'all to know that I pray for each and every one of you. If I know you by name, if I know your voice, if I know your phone number, when I go to the throne of grace, Paul taught me that in his word, how he prayed for the brethren, you know, all the time. He said, I keep you in my remembrance. And I thank God for what he has allowed us to do on Wednesday night for so many years. And some of you guys have been in the been since the very beginning. God honors that. And we have grown. I believe we have grown, you know, in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we're going to continue until God says something different. And again, I thank God for each and everyone taking time and being so committed to Wednesday night Bible study. Words of wisdom, plain and simple, hosted by myself, Diane Adams. Sister Elyria Mackey, your mic is open. Present us with something.
To me, it's so wonderful. Oh, to me, it's so wonderful. To me, it's so wonderful to know that Jesus is mine. To me,
June Williams, Lance Brown, Georgiana Prevost, the Martin family, Arthur Delone, Sister Janice family, Tyrone Hems family, Willie Foxworth, Kathy Foxworth, and Corinne Davis.
I want to thank you so much, Sister Pam. And if there's anybody would like to ask for prayer that it could be listed on the list, please press the 1 button at this time. And if you can't remember all of the names, say the names that was read on Wednesday night Bible study. Pick one or two names and decide to just continue to go to God on behalf of these people. So if anyone would like anything else added to the list, press the 1 button on the phone now. If not, we're going to go ahead out with a prayer and a benediction because it's now 9:29. I have a caller. Caller, your number is 504-237-60. Your mic is open.
Yes. This is Sandra Bridges. I just want to say thank you, Diane, for a wonderful, wonderful blessing tonight. And I would like my name on the prayer list, Sandra Bridges and family. Thank you.
And we will definitely add it to it. That's another name, you guys, Sandra Bridges. We have to be in prayer for each other. We are all a part of God's kingdom. We are kingdom children, and we should pray for one another. Thank you so much, Mr. Bridges. Anyone else? If not, we're going to go ahead and do the prayer, and we're going to close our program for tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the giver of every perfect gift, our Lord, our Savior, and our Master, our beginning and our end. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, I come to you right now with the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, you heard our prayer petition. You heard the names that were called. You know all of the needs, dear God, and we believe you're working them out. Some of the names that was on the list has passed now, and one lady, Sister Lucas, she has now lost her son. Lord, it's amazing that she made 93 on Saturday, and her son that's younger than her has passed away. But we know you are in control. Heavenly Father, give everyone that take time from their schedule. Bless them in the blessings that they are in need of, dear God. Bless the people all around in the other countries. I have callers from South Africa. I have some calling from Canada. I have some from the Philippines. And some people has called into the program from Australia. Bless them, dear God. Bless our whole world, dear God, by the mighty name of Jesus. I pray. And thank you, dear God, for everything that you have done, that you're doing, and that you promised to do. It is now 9:31. It's the end of our program. And if God says the same, we'll meet back again on next week. I love you. I love each and every one of you. I continue to pray for you, and I pray that you pray for me and my family. We all need prayer. So that's our program for tonight. God be with you until we meet again. Good night, and thank God.